Grace, power, and peace come to you from the living God, through his Son, Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and our Savior, as we bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, send your Holy Spirit upon this seminary, its professors, its leaders, and seminarians. Grant them great joy and zeal as together they prepare men for the holy ministry. Men who can effectively share the love and the saving gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, what a privilege it is to return to the seminary where 9.5 years ago I began my preparation for the ministry. As a small boy, my big dream was to be a Lutheran pastor. And that dream was carried into preparation in high school to go to Concordia, Milwaukee. Except when high school was over, I made an excuse. I was much like Moses. I stayed at home to do my college. And then upon graduation, I met a Lutheran youth caravaner from Calgary, Alberta, Canada. It was no longer convenient at that time to go to seminary. So I made another excuse. In 1976, my heavy involvement in serious Bible study and service in my congregation and in the district again stirred up the desire in me to become a pastor and enter the ministry. So my wife and I journeyed to Fort Wayne, Indiana, and enrolled in the seminary. This time, my company gave me the excuses I needed by begging that I give them a few more years. And as a result, I acquiesced. In 1988, the company was purchased by a British firm, and all my excuses were gone. It was then the Lord led me to this seminary, and what a blessed experience both preparing and being in the ministry has been for me. Being in the pastoral ministry as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ is both a privilege and a joy that I cherish. And I'm sure you who are already in that office agree, and those of you who are preparing for that office will soon discover for yourselves. Let's examine that privilege that is ours, in the text that was read to you from 1 Corinthians 4. In verses 1 and 2, Paul says, "This is how one should regard us, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful." We Lutherans believe in the divine call. That means that we believe God's Holy Spirit works within both pastors and congregations to join them together in ministry. And then the two must work together to find mutual joy in ministry and to raise up the body of Christ in that place. And that can only happen when both pastors and congregations view the pastor as a servant of Christ and a steward of the mysteries of God. I don't know when each one of you were inwardly called by Christ to prepare for the holy ministry, but I'm sure you are already a sheep of Christ's flock, a converted, believing Christian, and when your heart began to burn with that desire to share the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ, you chose to come to seminary. And that desire is the inner call that comes from Christ himself. And to this inner call comes the external call, which comes through men. Christ has given believing congregations the keys of the kingdom of heaven and the power in his name instead to choose, to call, and to install Christ's servants as their pastor. I got to share with you, it still fills me with awe to remember my two installation services and what a humbling privilege to be chosen by a congregation to serve as their pastor. The key word here, though, is serve. In our text, the Apostle Paul does not call pastors lords or rulers or masters or authority figures of Christ, but rather he calls us servants, servants of Christ. Many of you in this audience are far more learned Greek scholars than I, but I find the word that Paul uses in the original Greek to describe servants is fascinating. That means Christ's galley slaves. Christ himself is and remains the captain of the church. He's at the helm, and he calls pastors to be faithful rowers of that ship. Under rowers who row in the lower bank of rows in a large ship. A pastor who thinks he's the captain of that ship can get into much trouble. He might think it's all right to lead the congregation to feast on something other than God's word. And a pastor, he might think and lead members to be caught up in social issues or in fellowship or in administration or in worship practice that are other than according to God's word and his sacraments. He might even decide to become both judge and jury in dealing with the members of his congregation. It all starts out very well-intentioned, but a pastor who thinks he is the captain of the ship can easily lead the congregation in directions other than that which Christ charted. That is why Christ made these statements. You have one teacher, and you are all brethren. You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. It shall not be so among you. Whoever will be great among you must be your servant, and whoever will be first among you will be slave. Christ calls pastors to be galley slaves on his ship, and that is truly a noble calling. Noble pastors are those who truly love their people because they are Christ's people. And Christ loves his people so much that he gave his own life on the cross for them. Some of the most memorable and helpful advice in my preparation for the ministry came from a precious, treasured professor here at this institution. When he said it very simply, he said, "Preach the word effectively, administer the sacraments, and just love your people." Man, what great advice that is. Just preach the true word effectively, rightly administer the sacraments, and just love your people. I can share with you that works. We don't need to be embroiled in controversies or politics. We just need to keep rowing on Christ's ship. The Apostle Paul goes on to state, in addition to being a servant of Christ, pastors are to be stewards of the mysteries of God. And this is of great importance. A ship steward is neither an absolute lord, nor is he a mere dispenser of goods. Rather, he manages the goods and the affairs of the ship, providing each crew member just what he needs. That means pastors will lovingly embrace each soul that is entrusted to you. You will get acquainted with them, and you will provide them what they need at the proper time. And that requires guidance. It requires the guidance and the power of the Holy Spirit, as well as lots of your time and lots of your energy. But oh, what a joy that is. And each of us also need to take Paul's words at heart when he says, "Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful." What a blessed charge that is. We must be found faithful in Christ's service. That doesn't mean we'll all carry out our pastoral duties in the same way, because all pastors have different gifts. Just as in the case of the ship steward, the steward does not manage his own property, but he manages the property of the captain. And pastors don't fill out some holy order blank requesting specific spiritual gifts, but rather, we accept the gifts that God has entrusted to us, and we use them in faithful service to our Lord and to our congregation. I have only served two congregations, but I can share with you that both of them have been accepting, encouraging, and supportive. They don't hold me accountable for gifts that I don't have, but they affirm and appreciate the gifts that God has given me. And together, we focus on word and sacrament, and together we joyfully share the pearls of God's saving grace, not only with our own members, but to the community at large, and also in the world in our mission effort. So in concluding, I'd like to ask you a question. How can all of you here at Concordia Seminary in Fort Wayne find great joy as you prepare men for the holy ministry? And how will you seminarians find joy in your calling in the pastoral ministry when your training is completed? On the basis of our text, I believe the text provides two very clear answers to that question. First, by viewing yourself as a servant of Christ, a galley slave on Christ's ship, and a steward of the mysteries of God. And secondly, when you are found faithful in Christ's service, as you focus on effectively proclaiming the true word, rightly administering the sacraments, and just loving God's people, it will be a true joy. It is my prayer this day that God will richly bless not only the leaders and the professors here and the seminarians as you prepare for that high calling. I also pray that each one of you will be Christ's humble servants and stewards and faithful stewards of the mysteries of God. The Lord blessed me with a very exciting 30-year business career in which he gave me time to serve my Lord as a layman. And my business career was a positive, happy, and exciting experience. But I got to share something with you, and some of you second career guys can relate. There were many days that when I went to work, it felt like work. It felt like a job. And there were many days it was hard work. In my 7 years of ministry to God's people, first at Joliet, Illinois, and then at Peoria, Illinois, I've not experienced one day that it even felt like I was going to work. Being a humble servant and a steward of Christ is not a job, but it's a calling. It's not work, but a privilege. It's not an occupation, but an opportunity. It's not a position, but it's a service to God's people. I pray your preparation here will be a time of renewed zeal for spreading the good news, and also a time of unprecedented blessing from Almighty God. Amen. So that you might test my witness on the basis of the text, let me share it with you one more time. This is how one should regard us as stewards, as servants of Christ, and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that we be found faithful. May the grace of God, the presence of his Son, and the power of the Holy Spirit strengthen us all for service in God's kingdom, now and always. Amen.